This is the TTY Dialer, episode 17, for the week of February 13th through February 18th. Hi, this is Mark Lavonier with your weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show tuned to yesterday. Every night of the week, we broadcast Golden Age of Radio drama, comedy, mystery, adventure, romance, sci-fi, westerns, and more, all in your theater of the mind, and on demand as well at WRVO.org. In this podcast, I bring you a blend of radio history, we have some fun with sound from radio's yesteryear, and also a look at the shows coming up for the week, which makes this best listened to on Sundays or Mondays.
I guess I can't add much to that, but give me a subject like shaving, and I'd add a few quick words like this. Men, if your morning shave is worse than 100 nightmares, chances are you have wiry whiskers or a tender skin. So try Mole. Yes, sir, with Mole, it's smooth. So smooth. It's slick. So slick. It's a smooth, smooth, slick, slick shave you get with M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skins. That's right. Mole is the cream you need if you have tough whiskers or a tender skin. Because Mole is a heavier cream, it not only softens your whiskers, it stands them up straight and lets your razor cut them right off. So you shave faster, closer, easier, and you shave painlessly with Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tender skin.
That commercial was for the program called the Mole Mystery Theater. It was an anthology-style mystery show which really endured on the air for nearly 11 years, thanks to the wide range of stories and even promotional efforts of NBC in its first 4 years on the air, before the show moved to CBS and then wrapped up on ABC. For a good part of its run, before the show's name and writers famously changed, the Sterling Drug Company sponsored it with different products in the spotlight, like ones we've heard of today, like Philips Milk of Magnesia and Bayer Aspirin. That is until the Armed Forces Radio Service agreed to broadcast the Mole Mystery Theater, where the commercials and all references to the shaving cream were edited out so as to not to try to sell to our troops listening in. But it being a mystery show, I'm sure many of the close shaves remained intact. This Monday night on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, it's an hour of adventure from the John Steele Adventurer Show from 1952. Then the Cavalcade of America brings us an abbreviated version of Mark Twain's Life on the Mississippi from 1953. To follow at 11, it's an hour of romance from Stars Over Hollywood from 1952 and the show Romance from 1955. Now, you may have noticed for the romance slot that there are many programs of the show called Romance, and if for any reason you haven't yet given it a chance, it's not the same cast of characters whatsoever. It's anthology with different stories featured throughout, and the quality of the broadcasts are pretty good, surviving from about 60 years ago. So give that a shot. This Tuesday, February 14th at 10, it's comedy from the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Bing Crosby in the play Mr. Jinx Goes to Sea, then Bob Hope. At 11 o'clock this Tuesday night, it's westerns. Have Gun, Will Travel, and Raymond Burr stars in Fort Laramie.
I thought it might be a good idea to show them what our dress uniform looks like.
Lieutenant Seibert's the only Indian who witnessed this guard mount was Ahuapa.
I'd noticed that, sir.
And had you noticed that each time you are the officer of the day, she is here on the parade ground to watch you change the guard?
Well, sir, I guess she's interested in soldiers, sir.
Soldiers? Or a certain soldier?
I wouldn't know, sir.
I believe you're off duty now.
Yes, sir?
Then, Lieutenant, I suggest you shouldn't keep the lady waiting.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
These shows are on the air live and streaming live at WRVO.org Monday, February 13th and Tuesday, February 14th from 10 to midnight. By the way, even though Tuesday night is not framed as Valentine's Day shows, there is a great romance story there, as you'll hear in Fort Laramie. And February 14th is also the birthday of comedian Jack Benny. And this Thursday, February 16th, is the birthday of Chester Morris, who was the first person to play the on-air role of gangster-turned-detective Boston Blackie. Author Jack Boyle created the character, whose story was spun over the course of several issues of Red Book and Cosmopolitan magazines in the late 1910s, And in 1918, the first movie of what would be an extensive film franchise was released, at first as a silent film, and it was in the 1940s where the character really took off on screen, where there were 14 movies made with Chester Morris in the lead, starting with 1941's Meet Boston Blackie. And though there were a lot of movies of the character produced, they usually fell into the camp of the B picture, where most of them were about an hour and received few good reviews. But a lot of people still paid to see the films and to capitalize on the fame of the character that was essentially going through a reboot. After a 10-year hiatus in the 1930s, Boston Blackie was brought to radio in June of 1944 as a summer replacement show for the vacationing Amos and Andy program. The series eventually continued through 1950 in syndication, but Chester Morris wasn't the star. His part was taken up by actor Richard Colmar, even as Morris was starring in the movies as Boston Blackie. Morris was heard on radio in many different broadcasts in many different roles, a lot of them from movie adaptations on the Lux Radio Theater, but he's probably best remembered for his time as Boston Blackie. Here's some sound from the first summer the show was on the air in 1944.
I don't know what you're talking about, Blackie. I operate a legitimate business here. I sell only at ceiling prices.
I came up here to tell you I'm tired of being kicked around by those two mugs of yours. And also that you're going to lay off June Parker.
June Parker? Who's she?
Well, she's the girl you've been threatening. You know, the one that owns the trucks you've been hijacking. But you won't do it anymore. You see, I'm taking you with me.
You're taking me with you?
That's right. You're going to be my insurance that from now on, this black market gang of yours is unemployed.
What are you going to do with me?
What's he going to do with you? He ain't going to do anything with you.
Faraday, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Inspector, my secretary had the good sense to call you. And I'm glad you got here so fast.
Mm-hmm. What's Boston Blackie been up to now?
He held me here in my office at the point of a gun, Inspector. He was going to force me to go with him unless...
Unless what?
Unless I stopped selling meat at ceiling prices and went into the black market.
Now, wait a minute, Faraday. That's ridiculous. You know that can't be right.
I don't know nothing.
Oh, you know a thing or two. You're just being modest.
I'm a reputable merchant, Inspector. I've been in business for years. This Blackie person wanted me to make this plant his headquarters for illegal meat sales.
Now, Faraday, listen. He claims I pulled a gun on him. I don't even have a gun.
It was in his hand when you came in the door, Inspector.
With Blackie, that don't make any difference. He can make anything disappear.
Thanks.
Someday, I hope he goes to work on himself.
This Williams is head of a black market ring.
That's not true.
Not only that, but he's got a couple of thugs that have an obsession about my collecting old age pensions.
That's ridiculous. Oh, please take Blackie with you, Inspector. I'll prefer charges.
Now, wait a minute, Inspector. I know I've tricked you, and we've been playing hide-and-go-seek for years.
Go on.
But I've never gone back on my word, now have I?
That's right.
And I'm not going to try any tricks. I just want you to come with me to a young lady's apartment.
Oh, now,
Now, really, I want you to meet two friends of Mr. Williams.
Mm.
And if I can't prove that my story is true, well, I'll go downtown with you. Now, nothing could be fairer than that.
Sounds all right. But then you can make anything sound okay. You want me to see a gal who'll set me right on this whole thing?
That's right.
Okay, Blackie. I'll give you a chance to square yourself, but remember, this better not be a runaround.
This is the apartment, Inspector. Come on in.
Who is it?
Oh, it's me, June. It's Blackie. I'm here with Inspector Faraday.
Who?
Hmm? Inspector Faraday.
Wait a minute. I'm coming. Well, hello.
Hello, mm-hmm. June. Would you mind telling the inspector about that black market ring that threatened you?
What black market ring?
Well, you know that the... June.
I'm Miss Parker. And who are you?
That's all, Blackie. I've heard enough.
June. Now, what happened to those two men I left tied up here at your apartment?
Inspector, who is this man?
Don't you know? He says he's a very dear friend of yours.
Why, I've never seen him before in my life. And now, will you excuse me, please?
Okay, well, Blackie. We made a deal. This gal who was supposed to explain everything claims she never saw you before. Come on, let's go.
No, I can't go with you, Inspector. I've got to find out what this is all about.
Sorry, Blackie. Figure it out while you're waiting trial.
Faraday, will you listen? This girl is lying, and I can prove it. If you give me time.
I'll give you time, Blackie. You're coming with me. And keep your hands where I can see them. Now, come on over here to the telephone. I'm going to get you an escort downtown.
Okay, Inspector, but you're making a great mistake.
According to you, I always make them. So what's the difference? Remember, Blackie, I'm keeping my eye and my gun on you. Get me police headquarters. Blackie, stop playing with that telephone cord. You make me nervous.
I'm not playing with it, Inspector. Get that wire off my gun, Blackie. I stabbed it.
twisting that gun. You're breaking my wrist.
I'm sorry, Inspector. Now let go of the gun.
You're going back on your word.
Yeah, that's better.
You're going back on your word now. You never did that before.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've got to be free to get the head of that black market ring. And put a ring right through his nose.
This Wednesday night, February 15th, on Tune to Yesterday at 10 o'clock, drama for an hour. From Quiet Please, from 1948, then Columbia presents Corwin, and An Hour of Crime to follow, with episodes of Rogues Gallery and Sherlock Holmes from 1955. And we'll keep with the mystery starting Thursday night, February 16th at 10, with The Adventures of Ellery Queen, then another broadcast of Sherlock Holmes.
Which would also perhaps account for the fact that his wife no longer loves him.
Oh, my dear.
Middle-aged, goes out little, has grizzled hair, which he anoints with lime cream, and has been to the barber's lately. It is also extremely improbable that he has gas laid on in his house.
Ah, oh, come on. No, you're surely joking.
Not at all.
I've seen you at this kind of thing before, of course. But this is going too far. His wife, Holmes. You said she'd stopped loving him.
The hat hasn't been brushed for weeks, my dear fellow.
Ah?
Well, when I see you, Watson, with such an accumulation of dust on your respectable headgear, I shall expect you to be returning to your old quarters here within the next day or two.
At 11 o'clock this Thursday, science fiction from broadcasts of Suspense and Dimension X, bringing forth part of Ray Bradbury's The Martian Chronicles from 1950. Hear these programs Wednesday, February 15th and Thursday, February 16th from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. And another birthday to touch on this week, this Friday, February 17th, is the birthday of Max Goldsmith, who, when he got to Hollywood, changed his name to Mark Lawrence and became a familiar face on screen, cast as a heavy or tough guy in nearly 70 years in show business. If you were a fan of old movies, you would know him from his famed role as money launderer Ziggy alongside Edward G. Robinson and Humphrey Bogart in the film Key Largo. And he also had a memorable performance as Tommy in 1942's This Gun for Hire with Alan Ladd and Veronica Lake. Lawrence's face was often seen in the movies, but ultimately the lack of name recognition kept him in the realm of a supporting player. His portrayals of gangsters and gunmen actually brought him a lot of praise from actual mobsters at the time, and by Mark's account, he would even frighten the occasional movie ticket taker after they recognized him from the movie playing inside. He was an acting student of Eva LaGallien's Repertory Theater via the Provincetown Playhouse, which trained stars like Bette Davis and, in his class, the actor John Garfield. In 1933, he signed a deal with Columbia Pictures, where he would appear in almost 100 movies, with a decade break in and around the Red Scare of the 1950s. He was among the actors brought before the House Un-American Activities Committee, and because he had attended several Communist Party meetings, according to him it was out of boredom, he was blacklisted from American movies and moved to Italy, where he received top billing in nearly 24 movies. But before all of that happened, like many of the movies, during the golden age of radio, he was heard on the air on occasion. And with him, it was in episodes that called for the heavy, like detective programs such as The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, even John Steele Adventurer, and he was heard once on The Whistler.
In a rush, Mona?
Oh, Jeff, hello. Yes, I am, sort of.
Your song was great.
Thanks.
How about a drink?
I'm really in a hurry, Jeff. I shouldn't.
No time for a has-been, huh?
Oh, don't start that again, Jeff. I don't like it.
Well, I don't like it either, baby. That's the way it seems to be. Last year, there wasn't any Charlie. It was you and me, and the club was cozy.
Charlie's your fault, not mine. I didn't bring him here.
No, Moni, you didn't. Neither did I. It just shows up. Remember me, Jeff, your old pal Charlie. Kansas City, I'm your new partner.
I'd have thrown him out.
Have him go to the cops? Tell them all about the deal I was mixed up back in Kansas City, not me.
So you're stuck with him.
Well, it's better than Leavenworth, maybe.
Oh, it's a great partnership. Charlie takes 60% of the take, and you practically kiss his hand for your 40.
Sure, sure, but...
Oh, let's skip it, Jeff.
Okay, we'll skip it. Well, how about putting on last year's mink, having supper with me?
Sorry, Jeff, not tonight. I have other plans.
Mark Lawrence also had a chance to appear in this great scene on the detective series Let George Do It in 1949.
A man handcuffed to a policeman gets murdered. A man who's going to get the chair anyway. A man who knows where the money is. Now I ask you, what kind
Excuse
of
me.
A...
Excuse me, here's the gun I shot him with, sir.
What? Well, I'll be it.
The guy with the matches.
It's the first chance I had. First time he's been out in the open. But I killed him, didn't I?
Yeah, friend, yeah. If you say so, you killed him, all right? A man who would have died anyway, legally.
I know it.
And then you just step up and hand us the gun when you might have tried to get lost in this crowd. A bull? Who are you, anyway?
Hmm?
Come on, man, talk or I'll...
Wait a minute, Riley. You might be wrong about why people do things. About whether there's a mystery or not. Come on, speak up, friend.
Why should I? What difference does it make? I killed him. You won't be cheated. I'll take his place for you. It's over now. You can send me to the electric chair. It's what I want. First degree.
In the few surviving shows of Mark Lawrence on radio, we are able to really hear his range. He was born this Friday, February 17th in 1910 in New York City. And coming up on Tune to Yesterday, this Friday, February 17th at 10, it's sitcoms with The Magnificent Montague and My Favorite Husband, an hour of horror from Lights Out and The Hermit's Cave. Then on Saturday, a genre of programs I've given a break during the week on the show, It's True History. First, a show called This Is Radio, which all of the major networks aired an interesting program celebrating the medium from 1940. Then one a bit more stirring from radio's poet laureate Norman Corwin. It's a broadcast of his limited series called An American in England, reporting from the war from 1942.
In one delivery, there were seven different forms to be filled out.
Form 1, application for a permit to obtain supplies of sugar for the purpose of feeding a colony of bees.
Form 2, form concerning vegetable and glasshouse cropping program 1943-44.
Form 3, application for building license.
Form 4, application for the retention of men born in 1924 from military service under the special scheme for farm workers.
Form 5, application for potato subsidy.
Form 6, questionnaire from the Grass Dryers Association Limited requesting information of all owners of combine harvesters.
Form 7, application to enter stock for marketing.
The significant part of this form fest to me was Everington's attitude. He didn't grouse about red tape. Looked upon answering questionnaires as a patriotic service. The way he explained it was simple.
It's really very little to ask of a man when you think of the tremendous job being done. Before the war, we used to raise only one-third of the country's food requirements. Now we're raising two-thirds.
Gosh, what that must mean just in terms of ship tonnage saved is nobody's business.
Ah, but it's everybody's business. Every last farmer,
That's an expression. Nobody's business. That's an American expression.
I know it's an expression. It's a British expression, too, but it's still everybody's business.
This Saturday night at 11, Westerns close it out with Have Gun, Will Travel and a broadcast of Gunsmoke called Claustrophobia from 1954. Here are these shows this Friday, February 17th, and Saturday, February 18th, from 10 to midnight, live on the air on WRVO and live streaming at our website from wherever you tune us in from at WRVO.org. If you are one of our internet listeners, maybe not in the central and northern New York area, listening live on the air, let me know. Send me an email, mark@wrvo.org. I'm curious to how far our reach is getting out there in terms of people who are enjoying old-time radio. Also, if you have any questions or comments for me about the show, the TTY dialer, let me know, mark@wrvo.org. That's mark@wrvo.org. Okay, I hope you enjoy the shows coming up this week from Radio's Past. And until our next Dialer podcast, thanks for listening.